ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधिताम् भगवता नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथिताम् पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीम् भगवतीम् अष्टादशाध्यायिनीम् अम्ब त्वामनुसन्धधामि भगवद्गीते तव द्वैषिणीम्।
Let's go to the last verse of chapter 4 that we left off on last week. We did it, but I'm just going to review it and then we'll move to chapter 5.
Tasmat ajnana samputam kritstam jnana sinatmanaha kritstam jnana sinatmanaha Chitvainam samshayam yogam atishtotishta bharata
Tasmat ajnana sambhutam ritstam jnana asina atmanaha Chitva enam samshiyam yogam atishta uttishta bharata. So after having spent so much time this chapter 4 really teaching about sannyasa yoga, right? Karmas, sarva karma sannyasa, really what it means to be a jnani, to be a jivanmukta. Krishna spent so much time teaching this, and then he says to Arjuna, therefore, tasmat Arjuna, hey Bharata, the samshaya, the Atmana has samshaya. All of the doubts concerning the Atma, all of the doubts about yourself, cut those. You know, having cut all of those with the sword of knowledge, he goes, those doubts which are ajnana sambhutam pritstam, all of those doubts concerning your own being, who you are, that are pritstam, abiding in your heart, that are there in your buddhi, abiding there in your heart. Born of ajnana, brought about because of ignorance. All of those doubts, those not knowing about who you are, that atma anatma viveka, aviveka is there. That not knowing of yourself, and all of the doubts about who you are, what is your purpose here, the relationship with Ishvara, all of those doubts that are born of ajnana, that are abiding there in your heart. Cut those doubts through the sword of jnana. Asi means sword. To the sword of knowledge. So, and he goes, having done, you know, cut that, all of those doubts. So, yoga atishta, taking to yoga, karma yoga, he says, taking to karma yoga, uttishta, stand up and go fight, you know. And so, once again, now, Arjuna becomes confused because, and this confusion of Arjuna, it's kind of the theme of the Bhagavad Gita. He brings it up again in chapter 12 and chapter 18, the same type of question, which is that he's going to bring up at the beginning of chapter 5 is, you're telling me about sarva karma sannyasa, the giving up of all karma, and at the same time you're praising karma yoga. Now again, you're telling me to go and fight, to stay in the world. And I still have this buddhi, this desire to take sannyasa. Why? Because I don't see how, with sarva karma sannyasa and sannyasa, why wouldn't I take to sannyasa for sarva karma sannyasa? Why would I take to karma yoga, if I'm after sarva karma sannyasa? Why wouldn't I take to sannyasa? That's still his doubt. He still hasn't really understood. And so it gives the Lord a chance to teach some more. So Swamiji says that this verse now, Tasmat, therefore, from Krishna's standpoint, he's finished now. Therefore, you know, I've taught you all of this. Now you understand clearly. So you take to the Karma Yoga. I've given you all of the knowledge. Now you take to Karma Yoga and go. Stand up, go. You go fight now. And so Arjuna could say, I understand. And then just go out and do the battle. Everything would be fine. And then Krishna would think, I've taught him well. Arjuna's not ready for that yet. He still thinks, he's still not clear in some areas. And so he starts the whole thing over again. Starts it with a doubt. So let's look at this chapter 5. In fact, in the Bhasha, in Shankara's Bhasha, to this chapter 5, is quite an introduction on the difference between sannyasa and karma yoga. Right? So this is really the theme of the Gita, is to understand this. Because we're talking about jnana nishtha. Gaining sattva karma sannyasa, gaining jnana nishtha, and the real clarity in this knowledge, you know. It's one thing the teacher can unfold this knowledge, but for the student to grasp it fully, completely, so that it is clear, aproksha jnanam, there is no samshya, there's no more doubt. Right? How to get the antakarana, how to get the mind in a proper disposition, proper level of maturity and in relationship to the world, in order to be able to just receive that knowledge. This is where the Karma Yoga comes in. And so that's why this is, the Bhagavad Gita is considered a Jnana Shastra, where it gives knowledge fully, completely. It gives Atma Jnanam fully and completely. But it also is called a Yoga Shastra. Yoga Shastra means Karma Yoga Shastra. Means it gives everything that the student needs for owning up that knowledge, for gaining the antakarana shuddhi, to gain nishtha in that knowledge. So it's both a jnana shastra for giving the knowledge and yoga shastra for giving antakarana shuddhi. Remember, we say there are, in this gain of knowledge, there are two, what we call two different nishtas. Two nishtas. One is called upaya nishtha. One is called upaya nishtha. The upaya nishtha is rootedness in the knowledge. And that clarity of knowledge, the upaya nishtha, jnana nishtha, that upaya nishtha, is gained through shravana, manana, nirdhyasana, where shravana is the exposure to the understanding what the Upanishad says, in having clarity around the vision of the Upanishad. Manana is the clearing of all of the doubts about why couldn't it be this way rather than what the Upanishad says. Right? That's manana. And nididhyasana is getting rid of all of the viparita bhavana, all of the erroneous points of identification with this, identification with the upadis, all of the erroneous identification that is just there habitually left over. So that nididhyasana takes care of that erroneous identifications. That's for upaya nishtha. But in order for the mind to be able to receive this knowledge, to be available for this knowledge, you need upaya nishtha. Upaya is the thing to be accomplished. Upaya is the means. So how to gain upaya nishtha? What is upaya nishtha? Antakarana shuddhi. Means the antakarana, the mind, is shuddhi. Shuddhi means that it is pure. Pure means that it has enough shanti, enough peace, enough abiding to be available to receive this knowledge. Swamiji in the Shastra has used an example. Swamiji used to use it frequently. That the mind needs to be strong enough to hold the knowledge. He uses the example, if you were to take a bunch of coals, you know, because in India, you know, you move fire from place to place by moving the coals. So you move the fire, you move the coals. You share the coals. You can give the coals to your neighbors. Somebody can come and get some coals so that they can have the fire there, you know. So you tend the coals, you move the coals, you transport the coals. What do you transport the coals in? The burning embers. What if the burning embers, you tried to transport them in some newspaper? Right? If you're transporting the burning embers in newspaper, the newspaper doesn't have the capacity to hold the embers. The embers will just burn through it. So you need some sort of a pot, you know, like a metal pot to transport the burning embers. And like that, your mind needs to have the strength, the abiding, the clarity, the I would say the abiding, the nakshanti, to be able to be present, to hold this knowledge as it comes pouring in, right? Because when the teaching is taking place, the knowledge is pouring in the terms of the vision that is being held in the words, right? The vision is actually being held in the words, and there's a river of words that are pouring into your mind. But then, is the mind there receiving? Are all the words, is it a receptacle? Is the mind a strong receptacle for those words, the vision that's pouring in through the words? Or is the mind kind of like newspaper with coals, where the mind is going out here and going out here and going out here, leaving all of these kind of holes? And so as the flow of the words and the vision in the form of words is coming through to the mind, it just keeps on going. Because the mind isn't there, right? The mind isn't simply, it isn't there. So the flow of the words have just gone right through, right? Just like if you put burning coals onto some paper, the burning coals land in the paper and they just drop right through. So your mind is going this way and that way and that way, the knowledge just flows right through. So you need that antakarana shuddhi, that strength of mind, where the mind is not traversing the universe as the knowledge is, you know, coming, or getting lost in its own unconscious, or lost in its own pain, or own problems, or what happened yesterday, or what's happening today, and what's going on over here. There's no receptacle. So that upaya nishtha is necessary. And so karma yoga, dharma, kaushalam, karma yoga, these attitudes bring shanti to the mind that gives it the strong container that allows this flow of knowledge to have a base and a something where to hold it. And so as the knowledge comes into that mind that is strong enough to hold it, it does its job. Right? Because knowledge is knowledge. The knowledge is pointing something out to you that is there for you to see. But for you to see it, the knowledge has to have a receptacle, be contained by the mind, so that the mind can recognize the vision that the Upanishad is giving. So that upaya nishtha, both are necessary. The Bhagavad Gita, Karma Yoga Shastra, Yoga Shastra, Jnana Shastra is taking care of both of these nishtas. But Arjuna still is thinking about lifestyle. He's still thinking about lifestyle. And for him, sannyasa goes with sattva karma sannyasa. Sannyasa goes with knowledge, and karma yoga goes with karma. And he keeps saying to Bhagavan, I don't understand. Why are you asking me to do karma when I want knowledge? Am I not ready for the knowledge? Or, you know, he gets some doubts around that. And so the question keeps recurring. So here it is recurring again. Okay? But it's a wonderful thing for the Bhagavad Gita that it recurs.
We get more chapters.
So, sannyasam karmanam karmanam krishnam. Sorry. Sannyasam karmanam krishna. Sannyasam karmanam krishna. Punayogan cha samshasi. Punaryogan cha samshasi. Yatshreya etayorekam. Yatshreya etayorekam. Tanme bruhi sunishchitam. Tanme bruhi sunishchitam. Sannyasam karmanam krishna. Punaryogam cha
samshamsati. Yet shreyaha etayoho ekam tat me bruhi sunishchitam.
So Arjuna Uvacha, we should have chanted Arjuna Uvacha, sannyasam karmanam Krishna. Arjuna says, Arjuna asks that question, hey Krishna, Bhagavan, sannyasam karmanam, the renunciation of karma, sannyasam karmanam, the renunciation, the sannyasa of karma, punar yogam cha, and also yoga, shamsasi, you are praising both of these. You keep praising the renunciation of all karma, right? Of all of the karmas, sannyasam karmanam, shamsasi. You're praising this. But then, punarpi, then also you're praising yoga, the karma yoga, he says. Now he says, so, okay, I understand. Bhagavan, I've heard you now for all of these chapters. You do praise both, right? You're praising both. But he says, you know, you're praising both of them, but they're distinct from one another. The renunciation of karma, right, is different from the practice of karma, karma yoga. Renouncing karma is different from doing karma. Then he says, yet shreyaha ekam etayoho. That of these two, which one is the best? Yet shreyas, which one is shreyas? Which is the better of these two that you're praising? Which one, he says, ekam shreha, yet ekam shreha. Which one of these two, tayoho, which one of these two is shreyas, is the best, he says. Tanme bruhi. May you tell me that. Sunishchitam, clearly. Sunishchitam here means firmly, clearly, without any doubt. Can you explain that to me? Can you tell me which one is the best? Of these two, which is better? Sunishchitam, can you tell me? Make it clear to me so that there's no doubt. Sunishchitam comes from, you know, this nishta, jnana nishta. Sunishchitam is from the same root. And with the su, gives more emphasis. I mean, make it very clear, very firm, so that I have no doubt around this at all. Which of the two is the best? Because you're praising both of them, and they seem to me to be opposite, right? So one should be better than the other, you know? You say, give up karma, and you say, do karma. That's how Arjuna is taking it. Give up karma, do karma. I don't get it. I don't understand. Which would you like me to do? And Arjuna is still thinking, if you don't tell me to do sannyasa, then what's wrong with me? Right? Because sannyasa to him, sannyasa and knowledge go together, and karma and samsara go together. When you're praising both, I don't understand that. You know? But for me, the one who desires moksha, jnanam, and we know that moksha, because Krishna has taught, moksha is a result of knowledge. Moksha is knowledge, actually. Right? So, and I've come to you, he says to Bhagavan, I've come to you for moksha. And jnanam is the means for moksha. And you're praising these two, but I've come to you for jnanam. You know, so for this jnanam, please tell me which one is the best. So that's what he says. Of these two, that's what I want to know. Take clearly which one is shreyas. So then, that's his question. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Sannyasa Karma Yogascha.
Sannyasa Karma Yogascha.
Nishreyasa Karabhubhau. Nishreyasa Karabhubhau. Tayostu Karma Sannyasat. Tayostu Karma Sannyasat. Karma Yogo Vishishyate. Karma Yogo Vishishyate. Sannyasaha Karma Yogaha Cha
Nishreyasa Karau Ubau. Tayoho tu Karma Sanyasat Karma Yogaha Vishishyate. So now Bhagavan says, Sanyasaha Karma Yogaha Cha. Both sannyasa, taking sannyasa, and doing karma yoga. Both sannyasa and karma yoga. Sannyasaha, karma yogaha cha. Sannyasa and karma yoga, he says, nishreyasa, karau ubau. Ubau means both. Both give, are makers, are doers of, both bring about nishreyasa. Nishreyasa is moksha. Both karaha bring about, result in moksha. Both karma yoga and sannyasa, both of them, you know, are means for nishreyasa, for moksha. Okay? Then he says, sannyasaha, then he says, tayoho tu, but of the two, of these two, karma sannyasat, from the renunciation of karma, of action, karma yogaha visishyate. Karma yoga is superior. That use of the ablative is like this. Karma yogaha visishyate is superior, is better than karma sannyasa. Karma yoga is better than karma sannyasa. As he says it, right? Both karma yoga and sannyasa, you know, are conducive to, are lead to, bring about, conducive to, we'll say, bring about moksha, right? Both of them. But of these two, in my opinion, because Arjuna asked Krishna, asked the Lord for his opinion, right? So, but to me, in my opinion, from karma, because this is what Shankara adds there, okay? My opinion, Bhagavan says, you know, according to me, in my best judgment, right? In my best judgment, the Lord says, in my best judgment, you know, karma yoga is better. Right? So here, again, he's going to go on and develop this. Chapter 5 is really called sannyasa yoga. Right? So chapter 5 is a whole revealing the nature of sannyasa. So we'll find out exactly what sannyasa is, from sannyasa in terms of lifestyle and sannyasa in terms of sattva karma sannyasa, which is moksha. But now, here he says, if we look at karma yoga and sannyasa, in my opinion, you know, the karma yoga is far superior. So now, we'll see more in the next verse, but let me just unfold it again a little bit. Both are lifestyles. This has still not become really clear to Arjuna. The two are lifestyles. If I practice karma yoga, that means as a mumukshu, as a jignyasu, one who desires liberation, means as an adhikari. For me, what is tatpara as a karma, if I'm a karma yogi, what is tatpara? What is the most important thing to me is moksha. I'm an adhikari for this knowledge. Otherwise, I'm what's called a karmata. I'm somebody who does karma in order to reap the results of karma. I do the karma so that I can reap the results of my action. But that's not it for a karma yogi. For a karma yogi, all of my action, of course I do actions in order to gain the results, or why would a person do an action? They'd be a mad person. But what is tatpara for me? What is the most important thing for me as a karma yogi is antakarana shuddhi. So the way I relate to the world, the way I engage in the world, is for the neutralization of raga and dvesha, neutralizing my likes and dislikes. What is neutralizing likes and dislikes? It's interesting. Neutralizing likes and dislikes, just also to make this clear, neither an Ajnani or karma yogi.
It's a dog.
Is it a dog?
It's a coyote.
Coyote? Is it?
No.
Suffering.
It's full moon. It's
okay. Full moon.
Okay.
Full moon.
Anyway.
Full moon tomorrow.
The neutralization of raga dveshas is not at all a comment on becoming a person who has no preferences. That isn't true. Otherwise, how could we, you know, we go toward, pravritti and nivritti continues. You go toward what you desire and you go away from what you don't want. That's just part of being a human being. You know, and you have different things just by your karma, who you are in life, things that you prefer and things that you don't prefer. But for a neutralization of raga dvesha is this. If I get what I'm seeking, fine. And if I don't get it, fine. That's the karma yoga buddhi. In other words, my ananda, what is important to me, what is paramount to me, is not that I get my way, but that I'm able to relate to the universe in such a way that I have an objectivity, that I can enjoy the fruits of my action, but not require that everything goes my way. In other words, when something that you don't like happens, do you become miserable? This is what we call titiksha, being able to have and accommodate the opposites. When there's two kinds, let me just do a little aside here, there's two kinds of opposites that we confront. There's one kind of opposite like hot and cold. Those dualities confront us all the time. And those kind of opposites, sometimes when it's hot, I could say, oh, I'm so happy it's hot today. I love hot weather. On another time, when it's hot, you can think, it's too hot. This isn't quite what I had planned today. I wish it was cooler. Then on a cold day, you could say, I was really counting on it being warm today. Or it's cold, or you could say, I was really looking forward to a cold day today. So what I'm saying is that in these type of opposites, your relationship to it can be changed. Sometimes you can love the cold, sometimes you can love the hot. See what I mean? Sometimes you cannot want the hot, you can want the whole cold. It goes like that, you can change. So there's change in your relationship to that thing. Those are certain kinds of opposites. But then there's another kind of opposite that is what we call niyata. It doesn't change at all. That's sukha-dukha. That's an opposite. A pleasurable situation. You're not going to say, oh no, I'm tired of these pleasurable situations. Yeah? If it's a pleasurable situation, that means that you are enjoying it. If it's not a pleasurable situation, that's dukkha. Okay? Dukkha means you're not enjoying it. So a dukkha situation, you're never going to enjoy a dukkha situation by the very nature of what we mean by dukkha. You see what I mean? Mm-hmm. Sukha situation, you don't enjoy a sukha situation. You enjoy a sukha situation by the nature of what we mean by sukha. So these sukha and dukkha, these type of opposites, they cause pleasure and they cause pain. Other kinds, like hot and cold, you know, sometimes cause pleasure, sometimes cause pain. Still opposites. The person who has titiksha means has a level of vairagya, right? Which allows your mind to have shanti in sukha, the pleasurable situation, and shanti in dukkha, the painful situation. In other words, because the situation is painful means uncomfortable, right? Uncomfortable. Even for a jivanmukta, for a jnani, this situation is difficult. It's an uncomfortable situation. Do I lose my shanti in that uncomfortable situation? How does my mind respond to it? Right? That's titiksha, the mind that is able to hold these opposites, heat and cold and sukha-dukha, with a certain level of shanti. Now, the karma yogi approaches the world in that way. I do my duties. Life presents itself. Right? Your life presents itself to you. You don't have to worry about that. It will do it. Right? Moment after moment after moment, with all kinds of challenges, good experiences, bad experiences, happy experiences, painful experiences, exhausting experiences, restful experiences, things that you would prefer, things that you would not prefer. The life goes on, it presenting challenges for you. And you respond to that life and to those challenges to the best of your ability. Like Swamiji says, you know, I just do my best with whatever is put before me. But for the karma yogi, these things that are put before me, what is important to me is not the result, but the way in which I approach the challenges that are put before me. It's approaching the challenges that are put before me with the karma yoga buddhi. Right? That is karma yoga. I do that, why? Because I'm a mumukshu. I'm not a samsari. I'm not looking anymore to gain ananda from the creation. I know clearly, as does the sannyasi, as a karma yogi, I clearly know that this creation is really not capable of giving me any type of lasting ananda. And yet I still have that kartritvam, bhoktritvam, that doership, enjoyership. I still fall into all of the, you know, traps that the universe has to give me. And so I use that karma yoga buddhi in order to help me neutralize the likes and dislikes, to take the sting out, to take the sting out, so that my mind can have a certain amount of shanti, right, within my life. So that, let me put it this way, so that I can be in my life with shanti, right? As all of these variety of situations present themselves to me, I have a strong container. My mind develops a strength, kind of a spiritual maturity, a psychological maturity, to be able to objectively handle the good and bad situations that life presents. That's the karma yoga buddhi. What differentiates it from just a samsari is that I'm a mumukshu. I'm seeking jnanam. I'm seeking jnananishtha. And so until, as we'll see in the next verse, until my mind has that neutralization of raga and dvesha. Raga means all my likes, things that I want. Dvesha, the things I don't like, the things I hate. So until those raga dveshas have lost their hold, right? Bhagavan says, in my opinion, it is better to stay in the field of your experience. Because as a karma yogi, you still have many different roles that you take on. All of the roles are available to you, whether you're, you know, a mother or a father or a teacher or a employer or employee or friend. There's just hundreds of roles that life has to offer you. And so you're having to negotiate, be part of all of this. If you stay in your life, if you stay in this life, if you take to sannyasa, this is the problem that Bhagavan sees here. If you take to sannyasa, you now have only one role. And that is the role of either a student who is studying to gain this knowledge, or teacher. That's all you're doing. You're a student or you're a teacher. Student means studying the shastra. That's what you do. In fact, once you take sannyasa, you take the orange, all of these other roles are... those doors are shut for you. You've, in fact, when you take the orange, you have renounced all of those roles. The only role that you have now is the role of somebody whose life is centered on this knowledge, whose activities are centered on this knowledge. And so there's no field, right? There's no other role for you. So there's no field for you, that will allow you to work out these raga dveshas that are all abiding there, you know, in your unconscious, really, right? They're abiding there habitually in your mind. You've shut out that field. And so what he says is, it is better to wait, to take sannyasa, to wait, to take sannyasa until you are a sannyasi. Now, what does he mean by that? There are different kinds of sannyasa. The sannyasi, the sannyasa that Bhagavan is talking about here is called vividisha sannyasa. So for Bhagavan, there is this karma yoga, where you stay in the world, and with that Ishvara Arpana Buddhi, you do everything, you know, for the sake of Bhagavan. If you please the Lord, all the whole Karma Yoga Buddhi that we went over in Kaushalam, all of this. You stay in the world with that attitude, and at the same time you're gaining knowledge. Or you take sannyasa. You don't have knowledge yet. In either case, you're a mumukshu. In either case, you're a seeker. That sannyasa is called vividisha sannyasa. Vividisha. Vividisha means I take sannyasa with a desire to know. Vividisha. Do you see the duplication? Vividisha. That sha means desire to know. If you say mumukshu, see mumu, that duplication, mumukshu or mumuksha is the desire for liberation. Jignyasa, that's a duplication, jignyasa, the desire for knowledge. Comes from nya. Vividisha comes from vid, to know, right? Nya and vid, vidya, jnanam. So vividisha, the desire to know. So vividisha, desiderative. Vividisha sannyasa. I take sannyasa because I have a desire to know. So that sannyasi is not a jnani. That sannyasi is a mumukshu. It's a seeker, gaining knowledge. So the karma yogi is a mumukshu. The vividisha sannyasi, mumukshu. Both mumukshus, two different lifestyles. But the one lifestyle, the karma yoga lifestyles, allows the field of experience where you can gain the psychological maturity, objectivity that is necessary in order to have jnana nishtha, to neutralize the raga dveshas. You need to stay in the field. When you're in this field and this is the other kind of joke about it. If you stay in the field, both are gaining knowledge. Both are mumukshus, both are seekers. You stay in the field to neutralize your raga dvesha. When those raga dveshas are neutralized, then in fact you are sannyasi. Right? Then you are sannyasi. Now, the vividisha sannyasi has the same problem. That vividisha sannyasi also has to neutralize the raga dvesha in order to be a sannyasi, a sarvakarma sannyasi. Sarvakarma sannyasi is a jnani, one who has knowledge. The one who has knowledge realizes, I am free of karma. I, the atma, the me, is not a karta. I'm not a doer. I'm not an enjoyer. I never have been. The one who realizes that is free of karma, right? But the mind that is still engaging in the world, I want this and I don't want that and this makes me miserable, I'm still a karta in the world, karta bhokta, right? That hasn't been neutralized yet. Okay. And so how to neutralize it? Holding this knowledge, having this knowledge, your buddhi, having this knowledge, let the manas that has all the problems be in the world and get kicked around a bit in the world, you know, with that wise buddhi, the comforting it and continuing to bring it home, you know. So let the manas work out its problems, where the problems are. If you take yourself away from the problems, I had this very profound experience. You take yourself away from the problems. If you come back even 5 years later to the same spot where the problems were, when you're away from those problems, you know, nothing set the trigger them off. Because you're away from them. There was no trigger for them. You come, so you think you don't even remember those problems anymore. Right? You come back 5 years later to the same situation, boom, there they are. Same thing. It's astounding, because that happened to me. When I went to India, I was in India for quite a while and had been to the course and all of this, you know. And so all the problems that I had left behind were, in my mind, gone. They were gone. They were left behind. I didn't even remember about them. till I came back to the same situation. And then out of the blue, these old familiar reactions, the old familiar, you know, problems and some scars, all of these old things rose up in the same form as before. They were just hibernating. But the difference was, there's a happy ending to the story. The difference was is that, yes, all of them came up, but I was different. Mm-hmm. My buddhi was much different because I had been immersed myself in knowledge and had also been working on myself within the sphere of the ashram there in India. So my buddhi now had knowledge. And so when all of this stuff came, it was kind of a shock to me. But then my buddhi, the wise one, the one who has knowledge, handled it and dealt with it. But I dealt with it. The person who was dealing with these problems was different than the person of a few years before. And so these problems came up, and I worked through those problems, and they fell away. And that is how it is. So here for us, as you gain knowledge in this world, the problems of the world that were bothering you before continue to bother you. But what is changing is that your knowledge, your buddhi, becomes stronger and stronger, so that in the light of your knowledge, these problems that were initially big and causing reactions and pain for you get worked through and drop off in the light of your knowledge. And your knowledge keeps growing and becoming stronger and stronger. It's like that paper that was trying to hold the coals becomes, you know, like a cast iron pot. And there's a transformation that takes place. And that instead of the paper, initially it's paper trying to, you know, hold the life, right? But after some time, it becomes something strong. So as your buddhi becomes stronger, right, then as these problems present, they get transformed because your way of relating to them is different. Okay? So that's the process. The Bhagavan says, until the raga dveshas, until this, as long as this universe can throw you off, as long as people can upset you and hurt you, you know, then you should stay. Swamiji, you have to read this chapter 5. I've got, you know, your hand out there. Swamiji has a beautiful section on this. He says, you should never run away from any situation. If a situation is difficult, you know, and makes you want to flee, just, you know, I've had it with this, I'm out of here. You should stay. You should stay and face that situation. It is all mithya after all. I mean, there really is no real problem. Not really. The problem is that you are reacting. That's the problem. And that's what's making it hard for you. If you are objective in that problem, no matter how heinous the thing was, you're objective in the problem, and then you're just handling it. But if it's destroying you, if it's hurting you, if it's making you feel like you can't survive, you know, then in most situations, you really have to stay, you know, and work it out. Because if you flee it, then you become, now your mind has caved in. You've caved in. And so now you're not strong. Right? You've become weak now. So now now the next bad situation happens. Right? And so now you've been weakened by that situation. Now the next bad situation happens. Now what do you say? Should I flee, should I stay, or should I flee? So what if you flee then, again? Then again your mind becomes weaker. So he says, you stay in the situation until it's all right for you to be in that situation. If it's all right for you to be in that situation, then you can go. Swamiji's done this to me a couple of times. when I felt like, I am not getting anything out of this situation. It is a problem. I do not want to do it anymore. And I said this just a few years ago. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm done. It's over. I'm not interested in it. And he said, no, when there's no more problem, then you can think about it. I'd say over my career with Swamiji, he's done this to me maybe 2 or 3 times. And they're always big times. You know, these little things, you don't matter. It doesn't make any difference. It only makes a difference when it makes a difference. Mm-hmm. Yeah? But, you know, it's right. It's the right thing. And I'll say the same things to my students, and I've said the same thing to my sisters, in fact. And if I've ever gotten in that situation with them, we both know this. We all know this in a way. Just with my own family, if I were feeling like running out on something, just because it's hard or there's some pain in the ass in the situation, some person who's just making life hell and all of this type of thing, you know, and they believe me, they exist in every job, in every situation. There's always somebody there, and if they're not there, they'll come. If they're not there, they'll come. Something to make like life hard, you know. And so it just seems to be boggle how it is. But so my sisters have all faced this. We're all close, so we talk about all of these things. They've all faced this, you know, where they're just about ready to give up, because it's usually some couple of one person or people making life so very difficult, you know. And no matter who it is in my family, the other one will say, no, you can't leave until... You can't leave it until you don't feel that way. My sister, one sister said to me once, she said the very same thing that I'd said to her the year before. Well, I'm sorry, you can't leave it until, you know, you can't run out of that situation until you don't feel that way. Because you just become weak, you know. Because it's not like all of a sudden you get rid of that one person or that one situation and the problem is solved. As that this universe is Swargaloka. This universe is not Swargaloka. You know, Swargaloka is heaven. This is not heaven. You know, with heaven, when they talk about Swargaloka, this is Swargaloka. If any seeming problem tends to rise up on the horizon, you just say, oh no. And it goes away. If you happen to have a desire for something, it appears immediately. If the situation needs a little altering, it alters. And so the creation is a continual expression of your pravritti, of your desire. It's a continual expression. And if you can see, even if your desires are fluctuating quickly, then the expression will fluctuate quickly. Swargaloka, you get exactly what you want at all times, no problem. This bhūloka, the loka that we're on, is not Swargaloka. This loka is the karma bhūmi. It's where that kartrutvam, that doership is there. And you take this birth, it's a punya bhūmi. It's considered very auspicious because in this loka, this is the Vedic vision of things, in this loka, in this world, you can gain moksha. You are responsible. You have kartrutvam also. You can gain punya and papa. Right? You have doership. You have free will in this loka. But they say, if you take the birth in this loka, in this world, your prarabdha karma is composed of 50% punya, 50% papa. Means that the situations that arise, that comprise your life, this life, the life that unfolds to you, is definitely not swarga. 50% of the life that presents itself to you will give you happiness and pleasure. Just as a samsari. Oh, this is wonderful. Oh, this is great. Thank you, Bhagavan. That's the punya. And then there's the papa. There's the other 50% where you say, oh no. Or what do you feel? Irritated or angry or hurt, or how can I take this? How could this happen? Why does this person have to exist in my sphere? Why does this have to happen to me? This person is ruining my life. Right? Or this situation is not a happy situation. That's the papa. And you're going to have varieties of this punya, 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 papa, little papas, and then bigger papas, and then huge the papas. It's like that's how it is. For the mumukshu, you know that. This is a sadhana. For us, it's sadhana bhumi. Right? It's not meant for us to become happy or to become sad. It's meant for us to become free. That's what it is. And so, if the situation is difficult, it is your sadhana. You know? The difficult situation is your sadhana. The pleasurable situation is rest time. You know? Just gives you a breather. The difficult situation is where there is work for you. Now, the interesting thing, the very situation that is difficult for you now, as you mature, won't be difficult at all. It's difficult for you now because of your orientation toward it. Once you become objective, the situation is difficult, but it's not difficult for you. It's a difficult situation. You are handling it, right? You are handling a difficult situation. That's difficult than the situation being difficult for you. You see the difference? You are handling the difficult situation. You haven't become a dukkhi in the difficult situation. That's the difference. And so then when these difficult situations or difficult people or difficult whatever it is are there, they're difficult situations for you to handle. But you don't become small in the situation. So if you find yourself becoming small in the situation, that's a good place for you to be. That's why, you know.
It's counterintuitive.
But that's where you can, if you kind of, if you understand it, then you can say, okay, Balam, this is my situation to be in right now. To neutralize the raga dvesha. This is what I need right now. Because, right, I've become small in this situation. So, if I'm a mumukshu, if I want jnana nishtha, then this is the situation for me. See? And until that neutralization takes place, I should be in the field. When Ishwara, when all that is here is Bhagavan, is Ishwara, and my mind is resting in myself, right? My mind is resting in myself and appreciating this creation as Ishwara. Appreciating this body, mind, sense organs, and creation as Ishwara. Once that is there, then I become a sannyasi. So let's just read this next verse and I'll get into it more. Because it completes what I'm saying. It's all what I've been talking about. Nyeyasa nitya sannyasi. Nyeyasa nitya sannyasi. Yona dvaishti na kankshati. Yona dvaishti na kankshati. Nirdvandvo hi mahabaho. Nirdvandvo hi mahabaho. Sukham bandhat pramuchyate. Sukham bandhat pramuchyate. So, Bhagavan says, know that the one who is a nitya sannyasi, nyeha saha nitya sannyasi, yaha na dvaishti na kankshati, nirdvandvaha hi mahabhaha, sukham bandhat pramuchyate. He says, nyeha, this is to be known. What? That one who is a nitya sannyasi. Nitya means always. The person who is always a sannyasi. Nitya sannyasi means not non-wavering. The person who is a nitya sannyasi, as opposed to a sometimes sannyasi. Okay, we'll see what that means in a minute. The one who is a nitya sannyasi, that one, nadveshti nakankshati. That no raga dvesha. For that one, that person nadveshti, he doesn't hate. He or she doesn't nadveshti, doesn't hate anything. Nakankshati, nor does that one want anything. I want this to be this way. I hate this, I love this. Means, but when we say it, what we mean is, I hate this, it makes a source of, this is the source of my unhappiness. I love this, I need this in order to be happy. That raga dvesha for the nitya sannyasi is not there. For that person, everything is like helium balloons. You know, helium balloons that are very big for a child are nothing for you. They're fun when they're there, and when they're not there, that's fine. That's vairagya. So the person who is objective, that person who can handle the situation without hatred and without desire. I'm happy to let Ishwara be as Ishwara is. I love Ishwara. I love the way it is, whatever it is. Because my mind is with myself. That's why. And so for that person is a nitya sannyasi. The sannyasa isn't wavering. Everybody's a sannyasi. Think of it like this. Swamiji comments on this in his commentary. For much of the time, throughout the day, for most situations, you are sannyasi. You're objective. You have total vairagya. However it goes is fine. You'll deal with it, no problem. No desire there, no aversion, nothing. Great portion of your life is like that. Right? Neutral. You're fine. Deal with it. But in the sphere of your prarabdha, there are always a handful of things where that sannyasa is not there. Right? Where I need it to be this way or I need it to be that way. I desire it. I need it to be this way in order to be happy. I need it for it not to be this way in order for me to be happy. That's the, Kadachitka, Swamiji calls it Kadachitka sannyasa, the sometimes, now the now and then sannyasa. So most of us are this Kadachitka sannyasa, now and then sannyasa. Right? You have to be nitya sannyasa. Nitya means you're always that way. So until a person is nitya sannyasa, until always that way, then you need to stay in the field. The nitya sannyasi, what is a nitya sannyasi? Is the one who doesn't hate, right? Doesn't desire, doesn't hate. My happiness is not at stake. That's a nitya sannyasi. So for that person, nirdvandvaha, that person is free from the opposites. Nirdvandva. The nitya sannyasi, who doesn't have this raga dvesha, is nirdvandva, free from the opposites. So, and for that person, sukham bandhat pramuchyate. Sukham here means easily, without any effort. That person is released from bondage without effort. Why? Because their mind is mature, right? And so for that mind, because of the karma yoga buddhi, right? And that for that mind that has maturity, then that mind is easily released from bondage. But as knowledge is the means for moksha, for release from bondage. But the knowledge has to come into a mind, you know, that is free from all of this raga dvesha. The knowledge itself will help free you from raga dvesha. Knowledge itself does that because you understand where the source of ananda is. The karma yoga buddhi does that. But what Bhagavan is saying now is if you stay in the world with this karma yoga buddhi, and at the same time you're gaining knowledge, that knowledge is working overtime, it's working away for you in this sphere where your mind has habitual ajnanam, habitually responds to the creation in a way that is totally opposed to what you know. So stay there with your knowledge. So that in the light of your knowledge, this ajnana, this behavior, this ajnana-born behavior will drop off because it exposes itself to your knowledge. And so as the mind, as this ajnana-born habitual behavior of raga dvesha drops off, the mind becomes free of raga dvesha, free of dveshti, hatred. I hate this, I hate that. Free of kanchati. That kanchati means I want this, I want this, I want that. That all gets neutralized. When it's neutralized, there is no obstruction in the mind for this knowledge that's taking place. Right? Remember that the karma yogi and the sannyasi are both mumukshus. There is no obstruction for the in the mind. So as the knowledge takes place, it sits there in the mind. It's all like daylight, right? Because all of these ajnana-born samskaras, ways of behaving in the world, have been taken care of. So that's why he says the nitya sannyasi doesn't have this raga dvesha. Right? It means the one who has jnana, who has maturity. So until, as long as that raga dvesha is there, stay in the world. Right? When the raga dvesha is not there, you have sannyasa anyway. And sitting there in the world, you are a sannyasi. Sitting there in the world, you're a sannyasi. So now take the orange if you want. Either way, you're a sannyasi. See what I mean? Either way, you have jnana nishtha. But until you have jnana nishtha, stay in the world. Gain your knowledge. That's his vision. So he'll go on now. I'm holding this. Take a minute. Purnamidah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamidachate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.